the darkness shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Lord, I come to your awesome presence from the shadows into your radiance. By the blood, I may enter your brightness. Search me, try me, consume all my darkness. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. As we gaze on your kingly brightness, so our faces display your likeness, ever changing from glory to glory. Mirrored here, may our lives tell your story. Shine on me, shine on us, Jesus. Shine on us for your glory. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Yes, Lord, that is our prayer. Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Father, we come to you this morning, and we humble ourselves before you. And we thank you, Jesus, that you are the Ancient of Days, that you are the faithful one, that you are the true one, that you are the one whose promises never fail, that your light shines in the darkness, and the darkness shall never extinguish it. And Lord, we come to you this morning, and you, only you, are the hope for our nation. And so, Lord, we come. You tell us to humble ourselves before you. And so, Lord, we come, and we do that. And Lord, we say we can't fix it. No man can fix it. Biden, Joe Biden can't fix it. Kamala Harris can't fix it. President Trump can't fix it. Lord, our senators, no man can fix it. And our hope is on you. And so, Jesus, we ask you to intercede. We ask you to intervene on behalf of our nation. Father, we ask you for mercy. Lord, your word says that where great sin abounds, much greater grace abounds. And so, Lord, we come to you this morning as your people, and we humble ourselves before you. And, Lord, we ask you for mercy. We ask you for peace. We pray for the families of those that were killed in the Capitol building on, Lord, this past week. And, Lord, we ask you to surround them with your peace, surround them with your comfort. Lord, your word says that righteousness and justice are the foundations of your throne. And Father, we ask you for righteousness to reign in our country. We pray, Father, for justice to reign in our country. And Lord, we ask for you to fill this land, to fill it, Lord, with your glory. We ask you to shine forth. Lord, we are your floodgates. We are your people through whom your kingdom is going to come. So Lord, I pray for great courage on us this morning. I ask you, Lord, to give us courage. I ask you to give us steadfast hearts. I pray, Father, that we would be a people whose eyes are fixed on you and you alone. Lord, that we would be that kingdom and priest. Lord, you told us that if we believe in you, you've made us to be a kingdom and you've made us to be priests, to love you and to serve you. Lord, we come into the throne room this morning, and we ask you, Jesus, we ask you, Holy Father, to have mercy on us as a people, to bring peace to our nation, for your righteousness to reign, for your justice to reign. God, help. God, heal. God, have mercy. We pray, Father, for your church. They prayed in the book of Acts that she would have boldness in this hour. That you would stretch out your hand and perform signs and wonders. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, we ask you to have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy, Lord. We pray, Father, for those suffering from COVID this morning, those that are in quarantine because of COVID. Lord, we ask you to heal in the name of Jesus Christ the spirit of fear, Lord, that's associated with that thing. Lord, we just say go in the name of Jesus Christ. Those that are struggling to breathe this morning, we just command the lungs to be whole and healed in Jesus' name. The spirit of fear would go. Lord, your love, Lord, cast out all fear. And Lord, we just pray we would be a bold people, that we would be a wise people, but Lord, we would be bold. And all of those suffering, Lord, from COVID, you know them by name. Lord, we pray for healing for them in Jesus' name. We pray, Father, for the Wright family, all of those that struggle, Lord, we just ask your healing to come. Lord, those that have lost loved ones, Lord, we ask for your comfort. We pray, Father, for the Collins family in Jesus' name. Lord, we lift them before you. Lord, you know and you see. Lord, we pray for the Wright family, Jake Woolsley. We pray, Lord, for Dennis and Bonnie Harrison this morning, Lord. Cancer, COVID, all of it, Lord, you are the healer. And we ask for peace. We pray, Father, I pray healing virtue upon everyone that has been named, everybody, Lord, that is suffering of mind, body, soul, and spirit. We just release them. Just release healing right now in Jesus' name. Healing and wholeness in Jesus' name. Comfort in Jesus' name. We thank you, God, for baby Henry, that he did well in his surgery, Lord, the continuing pain that he has from that cleft palate, Lord, and all the surgery. Lord, we just pray healing on baby Henry. We thank you, Jesus, for that baby. We thank you, God, that you saved him, that he's a year old, and Lord, he is thriving in you, and we bless you and we honor you for that. And Lord, we just ask that that palate would close, that the stitches, Lord, that you just bring healing to any pain that he's continuing to suffer from. And Lord, bless that baby for the glory and honor of your name. Lord, we love you. You don't change. And Lord, may we not bring you down to our darkness. But Lord, we thank you in the incarnation you did come down. And Lord, you know what we suffer. But Lord, as you are resurrected on high and you are clothed in glory, Lord, I pray that today we would see you for who you really are. And Lord, we wouldn't be overwhelmed with the darkness that is around us. We thank you for John 1:5. The darkness shall never extinguish the light. Never extinguish it. You are the light of the world, and you told us that you are the light. You said that about us, Jesus. And so, Lord, we ask you to shine brightly through us in this hour. We honor you. Thank you that you see us, that you love us, that you are Emmanuel, that you do not change, that your word does not change. And so, Lord, we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Lord, I thank you for the faithful givers in this church. Lord, we pray you would bless the offering. Lord, you'd bless the giver. We offer it up to you as worship unto you. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our gospel lesson this morning is Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 18. Alan Morris is going to read that for us this morning.
Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it."
Amen. There is a reading. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. Precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, hope for sinners slain. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. When I stand in glory, I will see his face. There I'll serve my King forever in that holy place. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Amen. We are not alone. Jesus came as Emmanuel. He's ascended on high. He's left his Holy Spirit here with us. This morning as I was getting ready, the Lord just reminded me, I don't think I've ever talked to you all about fasting. And the Lord reminded me this morning, I just want to share with you Matthew 9, chapter 14. The disciples of John came to Jesus asking, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples don't fast?" And Jesus said to them, "Can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. Now is that day." And when I was younger, I used to do two days, up to 5 days, just drinking water and fasting. And I can't do that so much anymore. But the Lord has been speaking to me about fasting. And if there's ever been a time that we need to fast and pray, it's now. And John Wesley would fast, and they call it intermittent fasting now. It's, you can read health, and and actually John Wesley he wrote a book on health. And he was very into herbs and all kinds of things, but it wasn't just for health reasons. But John Wesley would fast, and like 2 or 3 times a week. You're like, how is that possible? He would say on sundown, I used the example this morning on Facebook Live, on sundown, he would fast, and then he would fast until 5 o'clock, say 5 o'clock, and then he would fast again until 5 o'clock the next day. And so I just encourage you, if the Lord is physically able to fast, I encourage you to do that. Our country needs Jesus. And we need, what does fasting do? It declutters our mind. Are you anxious? Are you afraid? You have all kinds of things running through you. Take the time that you would normally eat and just keep quiet before the Lord. Turn off all noise and do whatever you need to do to get in that place of peace so you can hear the voice of the Lord. There are so many things screaming at us right now. We have to get in that place of peace and quiet to hear the Spirit of Jesus. And what is interesting is in this, okay, he talks about fasting in verse 17. What does he talk, starting in verse 16? He starts talking, listen, look at what he says. "No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch tears away from the garment and a worse tear is made. Neither is new wine put into old wineskins. If it is, the skins starts talking about old and new wineskins. God wants to do something new. He wants to birth something through us, and we need to get quiet so we can do what he wants to do in and through us. So that's found in Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 through 17. So I just submit that to you. As I was praying this morning, I feel very much today like I felt the Sunday right before the lockdown. That day, it was a long service, and I just felt the Lord say, keep going. And I feel that way today. We don't know what's going to happen this next week, but I feel like the Lord's given me a lot today, and I was asking the Lord, do I need to shorten anything? We're taking the Lord's Supper. Y'all, we're going to be here for a while. And if Rich needs to leave, you can walk on out, but I'm teasing. but I feel like this is the hour that we are in is incredibly important, and I'm going to take as long as I need to deliver what the Lord has given me today, and we're going to take the Lord's Supper this morning. There's power in that. John Wesley believed that there's grace that's imparted to us when we do that. So those of you that are going to listen later, get your elements ready to go, because we're going to flow right from the sermon into the Lord's Supper. And hang on, all right? I'm just gonna relax. I'm not going to worry about time. I'm just going to relax. So, Lord, we bless you. I thank you, God, for the word that you've given me today. I thank you, Jesus, for the message that's in it. And, Lord, I pray that you would anoint me. Lord, I ask you to anoint me to exhort and teach today. And, Lord, I pray that you would anoint all of us to have eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to respond to what your Spirit is saying to your church today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to turn over to 1 Peter. I keep saying first. It's 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read 11 verses because I want to put it in context, but I'm not going to talk about all 11. We're probably just going to get through first 4 today. 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and to godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In verse 1, there's a fascinating little word. And when I was preparing this sermon, the Lord put this on my heart early, like a week ago Monday. And he put it on my heart early. And I really thought today I would talk about verse 8. But ineffective or unfruitful in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. But as I studied it this week, and we'll be there, Lord willing, in the weeks ahead, Lord willing. But the word that caught my attention, verse 1, and your translation may say it differently, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours. some of your translations, and I put that out on Facebook. You can read all of those. I put about 8 different translations up there. And some of your translations say, with a faith as precious as ours. But that word, any time, and this is the only time in the entire Bible that this word is used. And when that happens, there is often a different English translations will translate it differently because we don't have a context. We can't compare with how that word is used in other places in the New Testament. So the word does mean precious, but it means precious in terms of precious as, say, like you have this precious diamond ring. Say it's huge, it's immaculate, and it's precious. And the person next to you says, well, I have one that's as precious as that. It's of as equal worth as that. And they're equal. They're equal in their preciousness. And that's really what this word means. It means precious, but it's comparing it. And it can also mean the same. And Peter is saying here that we have a faith that is as precious and the same as his. Think about that for just a second. Peter is writing, and he says, everybody that he's writing to, that your faith is the same as my faith. Your faith is as equal value as my faith. Just think about that. That's profound. And I love if I can find it here. I have a lot of notes this morning, and I can't find it quickly, I'm not. But the NLT, I love the NLT, I like the ESV, but it's a faith that's as precious and the same as ours. It's a beautiful way to translate that. And I want to look at that this morning. Same faith, same and precious faith as Peter. And I just want to review Peter's life this morning. It's the same faith. Your faith that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's the same faith. It's as precious as Peter. Who was he? Let's go back and review. What is Simon Peter doing? Go back to Luke chapter 5 when he's called. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. He's a fisherman. He's out. He's minding his own business. And Luke chapter 5, I'm beginning in verse 1. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw 2 boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that had been taken. And so were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners. And Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything. They left everything and followed Jesus. It took faith for Peter he was tired. He was exhausted. He knew all it was about fishing. And Jesus says, cast them on the other side. And he did it. He didn't question it. And he did it. And he loads. He brings in all this load of fish. And Jesus tells Simon, Simon, from now on, you're going to be catching people. You're going to catch people. And it's interesting to me that when he saw those fish, he says, I'm a sinful man. I'm not sure why that convicted him, but when Jesus calls each one of us, we're convicted of our sin. God, and we see ourselves for who we really are. And he calls him, he gives him a purpose, and he leaves everything, and he follows Jesus. It's the same faith that we have. Flip over, go back to Matthew chapter 14. Peter has been following Jesus. He has seen him preach the Sermon on the Mount. He's seen him feed the 5,000. He's seen him heal. So he's seen a lot with Jesus, and he comes, Matthew chapter disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." It's the same faith. Same faith. What's fascinating to me, there's a lot of good stuff in that story, but it's fascinating that Peter asks. He sees Jesus walking on the water. He sees that. He's not afraid. They were at first. When he knows it's Jesus, what does Peter want to do? He wants to do that too. He sees what Jesus is doing, and he says, "Lord, I want to do that too." And Jesus doesn't say no. He says, "Come on. Come on." And the invitation was there for all the other disciples. But it was Simon Peter who said, "Lord, I want to do that too." And he says, "Come." And he starts, and he's going. And Peter is walking on the water. And we tend to focus on the fact that he sinks, and it's beautiful. We need to remember that. Don't get distracted by the waves. Don't, you know, oh, no. And he comes, and he pulls Peter up. "Oh, you of little faith." But what I want us to focus on this morning is that he saw what Jesus was doing, and he wanted to do it too. We have the same faith that Peter had, the same precious faith. And there was an inquisitiveness. There was something that he saw. He saw Jesus, said, "I want to do that too." And we could argue about his motives, but in this instance, he wanted to do that too. And he participated, and he got to experience the miraculous because he wanted it. He wanted what Jesus had, and he was following him. He left everything. And Jesus, "I want you. I want to do what you do." We have the same faith. We have the same faith. We need to ask. We need to be bold in our prayers. We need to see. We need to read the Bible. And instead of our faith being down here, we need to come up here where the scripture is and do what Jesus is doing. Everything that's in the scripture, everything that's in here, we can do. Same faith, Peter says. It's the same precious faith. Flip over to Matthew, Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?' And they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' And he said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?'" And we're living in a day and age that we better be sure that we know Jesus. That not that our parents knew him, not that we go to church, but do you know Jesus? Do you know him as Savior? Do you know him as Lord? And he comes to each one of us, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter, he says, "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the sent one, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. It wasn't yet time. You all, we have the same faith as Simon Peter. The same faith. If our faith is not in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, you are not a Christian. That is the cornerstone of the church. And the cornerstone is that confession. Jesus is Savior, sent from God. He is the Messiah. He is the sent one. That is our foundation. And the promise is that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. There's authority. There's power. And we have the same faith, the same precious faith as Simon Peter. What are you trusting in? What is your trust in? Believe. The gates of hell are the church is strong. The church church is on the march, and she's going after the kingdom of God. She loves Jesus. Her eyes are fixed on him, and the gates of hell, the darkness, all of it cannot stand against a church on fire. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. That's the promise. Same faith. Same faith. And here's a tough lesson. Look just at the next verses. It's the same faith. How many of you can relate to this? We have victory. We're walking with Jesus. We feel him. We sense him. Woo! We're all fired up. And then sometimes this is what happens to us. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Sometimes we start telling Jesus what to do. Sometimes we start bossing him around. Sometimes we think we've got it all together. We know what's best, and we start telling Jesus stuff. And we start rebuking, and then Jesus will put us in our place. Jesus knew he had to suffer. That was his purpose. That was his purpose. It's the same faith as Peter's. Sometimes the Lord will say, "Sit down." Sometimes we're arrogant and we're proud. We think we know more than God. We start bossing him around. He's like, "Sit down. Sit down. Remember who I am." All of us have done it. All of us have done it. There are a lot of people that relate well to Simon Peter. I'm not really one of them, because I think I was so shy, but in this, I can relate to him. Sometimes Jesus puts us in time out. Just, nope, you don't have that one right. And we're going to look at that in a minute. Because is this Peter's first failure? Absolutely not. All of us have sinned. All of us in our journey with Jesus, he sometimes will have to take us aside and say, "Nope, you don't have this right." And he corrects us. As I talked about last week, he corrects us. It's the same faith. It's the same faith. We try to box Jesus in, don't we? "Lord, this was my plan. This was my prayer. And it's not happening the way said, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me 3 times." And he went out, and he wept bitterly. Sometimes we fall further than we ever thought we'd fall. Lord, I'll never do that. I'll never deny you. Lord, I'll never do that. I'll never do that. I'll never fall into this habit. I'll never do this. You fill in the blank. I'll never do this. We fall further than we ever thought we'd fall. It's the same thing here. The same thing. Precious thing. Jesus died on the cross. Early in the morning on the third day, we went to go to the tomb. See the stone rolled away. See an angel sitting on top of it. They don't see because of their grief. They can't see. They don't understand. It's Jesus. Woman, why are you crying? You're the gardener. Tell me where you put his body. I'll go. I'm going to get it. Jesus says her name. He says her name, Mary. He says, "Go tell my disciples and Simon Peter what you see." Why do you think it's significant that Jesus had Peter? "Go tell my disciples and Peter." You think Peter felt guilty? You think he felt ashamed? Jesus says, "Go tell Peter." He's still seeking him. He still loved him. It's not over, Peter. It's not over. It's not over. Y'all, it's the same faith. John chapter 21. Peter's discouraged. He's seen Jesus. He's seen him. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way: Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana, sons of Zebedee, and two of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." How many of you have been so discouraged? You're just kind of depressed. And sometimes we feel like such a failure. And we've fallen farther than we ever thought we'd fall. So we just go back to what we're good at. He left everything to follow Jesus. And he goes back to what he was good at. He went back to what was comfortable. He goes fishing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "Hey, Peter, it's the Lord." Peter didn't recognize him because he was so caught up in his grief. He didn't recognize him, but he needed a friend to say, "Peter, look, it's Jesus. It's Jesus." And when Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for his work, and he threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, about 100 yards off. When did Jesus do this for Peter? He did it when he first called him. Do you think it's significant that it would happen again? Yeah. When they got on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you just caught." So Simon Peter went on board and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Jesus made them breakfast. He made them breakfast. He came and took the bread, gave it to them. And then finished breakfast. Jesus, now he's addressing Peter. "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to them the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" what continues to happen to Simon. Jesus tells his disciples he is resurrected and he's going to ascend, which means he has victory. We need to remember that in this hour, because he has ascended right now. He is seated on the throne. He has all rule, all authority, all dominion belongs to Jesus. And before he ascended, he said, I want you to wait. Wait in Jerusalem, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And the disciples, they did that. Simon, Peter, men, women, 120 of them are there. They're waiting on the Lord. And so many of us, instead of waiting on the Lord, we want him to wait on us. Lord, do this, do this, do this, do this. And we're running around. We're anxious. We're afraid. We're commanding the Lord what to do. And he said, wait. Wait. We need to be waiting on him in this hour. We need to listen to him. We got to get quiet. We need to get still. And they were doing that, Acts chapter 2. And when they did that, the promise, the Holy Spirit came, was poured out on all of them. There were tongues of fire on all of them, men and women. And they started speaking in other tongues, because there were people there from all over the world to celebrate. It was a festival, Old Testament festival of Pentecost. And they started declaring the wonders of God in all of those languages. Acts chapter 2. What happens? This Peter, who had been a coward, who had been afraid, who had boxed Jesus in and had told him what to do, had messed up, but Jesus has restored him, brought him back to the relationship. Who was it that got up and preached that day? Who was it? It was Peter. And he got up. Was he namby-pamby? Was he all, kind of all apologetic and, that coward that couldn't stand up for Jesus? What does he do? Acts chapter 2, verse 14. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, since it's the only third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and on your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my servants, male and female, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord may be saved. And he goes after it. He is bold. And I'm going to say one more thing. It's just like, what happened to the power? Verse 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God, with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him. This Jesus, you delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pains of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Peter is completely transformed when the Spirit of God is poured out upon him. This one who'd been a coward, when he's filled with the Holy Spirit, he has boldness, and he's not cowering anymore. And if we ever needed boldness, we need it today, church. We need him. We need him. This is the same precious faith that Peter had. It's the same faith. And we need that faith today. Acts chapter 3, there's thousands of people that come to Jesus. There's repentance, and thousands come. And Peter and John in Acts chapter 3, they're going up to the temple to pray. And there's a man that is lame by birth. He's never walked ever. And he's begging for alms. He's begging. Peter and John are going up to pray. And he's begging for alms. And Peter looks at him and he says, silver and gold I do not have. But what I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Get up and walk. And he takes his hand, and that man jumps up. And that man is leaping. He is dancing. He is healed. He is healed. And they are shocked, and they don't believe it. And they don't know what to do. And Peter and John, they are warned. They are warned. Don't speak anything. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. We're common. We're ordinary. We're not brilliant people. Some of you might think you are, but we're ordinary people. Some of us are smarter than others, but we're ordinary people. We're ordinary people. But they noted that they had been with Jesus. If we're going to stand for Jesus in these dark days, you better be with him. You better spend time with him. We need to be filled with him. It's the same precious faith as Peter. And they weren't, they threatened them. They threatened them. They said, we don't want you to speak anymore in this name. We don't want it. Don't do it anymore. Verse 18, but Peter and John answered them saying, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God, you must judge. Oh, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and what they had heard. And when they had threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God what had happened. They go back to the church, and they tell them what happened. And the church isn't like, oh, no, we got to stay home. We got to huddle up. Oh, and they're huddled. No, what do they do? Verse 23, when they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard it, they lifted up their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David said by the Holy Spirit, why do the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers are gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you've anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with brilliance. Ho, church, it's the same precious faith as Simon Peter. We have the same faith. It's the same faith. It's a precious faith. What happened to Peter can happen to us. Peter, we tend to stop at his foolishness and his rashness in the Gospels. But Peter went on to become bold and fearless in a prayer and preaching the gospel. Where is your faith? Where is your faith? It's the same precious faith as Peter. So many of us, the word of God, it's a word of God. It's a seed. And do you know who is responsible for that seed to grow? It's not Jesus. It's not the Holy Spirit. It's you. It's you. What is the soil of your heart? Is it hard? Is it rocky? Is it thorny? Jesus warned us that the cares of this world, the pursuit of pleasure, and the pursuit of just wealth would choke out the word. Where is your faith? It's a precious faith. It's the same faith as Peter. And may we have it. May we have it. And where are you? Would you think about that? Where are you in the journey of Peter? It's okay, no matter where you are. Maybe you're still in the boat and you've never committed yourself to him. Maybe you're struggling and you've fallen and you think you can't ever get up. You can't ever be the same. That is all over. Jesus wants to restore you today. He wants to restore you today. We're going to take the Lord's Supper. And you all, it's more than a ritual. There's power in it. There's grace for us in it. His body broken. That's the life that Jesus wants to live through you. The blood, as we take that, there's forgiveness in the blood. There's healing in the blood. Receive that by faith. And may all of us, where is your allegiance? Is it to Jesus? no longer a time to sit on the fence and be indifferent. Are you going to, Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. You're either with me or you're not. There's no 50-50. He's looking for undivided hearts. Undivided.
The liturgical name for the Lord's Supper. You know what it is? It's called the
blood that heals, the blood that restores. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Just receive it by faith right now. We thank you, Jesus. Everything you died to give us, Lord. Everything you died to give us. Full redemption of sins, holiness, purity, power. We just receive it by faith. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you. Receive that by faith. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. My hope is built. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Just call on his name. Lord, I need you. Come in. Help me. And he will. He will. Remember this, church. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Lord, I thank you.